Going to look at John 18 this morning. I've got good news for you. Jesus is coming back. I'm ready. I'm telling you, I'm ready for Jesus to come back. And however, as we wait for Christ to return, the world grows darker and darker every day. That's why I want to talk to you this morning for a few minutes about staying out of the darkness and walking close to Jesus. Staying out of the darkness and walking close to Jesus. Because if we're going to live in victory for Jesus, then we must follow Him so closely so that we are empowered to resist the temptations of Satan that's all around us today. So in John chapter 18 and verse 15, we're going to look at this topic in light of what happened with Simon Peter. Beginning with verse 15, it says, Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. Since that disciple was known to the high priest, he entered with Jesus into the courtyard of the high priest, but Peter stood outside the door. So the other disciple who was known to the high priest went out and spoke to the servant girl who kept watch at the door and brought Peter in. The servant girl at the door said to Peter, "You also are not one of this man's disciples, are you?" He said, "I am not." Now the servants and officers had made a charcoal fire because it was cold. They were standing and warming themselves. Peter also was with them, standing and warming himself. Now down at verse 25. Now Simon Peter was standing and warming himself. So they said to him, "You also are not one of his disciples, are you?" He denied it and said, "I am not." One of the servants of the high priest, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, asked, "Did I not see you in the garden with him?" Peter again denied it, and at once a rooster crowed. Father, thank you for your word, and I pray that you would speak to your people today. Through your word, through me, I pray, anoint me, forgive me where I have failed you, that I may be your vessel today. Give us open hearts and ears to hear from you today. Help us to shut out distractions and focus upon you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Peter humbly learned the lesson that we must stay out of the darkness and close to Jesus. Peter was very confident and outspoken, even boastful, you might say, about the relationship that he believed that he had with Jesus. For example, in John chapter 13, when Jesus girded himself with a towel and he began to wash the feet of the disciples, Peter said, "You'll not wash my feet." Later, full of his own strength, Peter would boast three times of his love for Jesus. Peter had refused to believe Jesus' warnings that he would deny the Lord three times, saying, "This will never happen to me." You ever look at something that happened to someone else and you say, "That's never going to happen to you"? It's kind of dangerous speech, is it not, sometimes? Peter said, "Lord, they might all fail you, but I will never fail you." It was that very night that Satan flew in under the radar, as it were, when Peter was not watching, and tripped him up. We might say the same thing as Peter said. "Well, if I'd have been there with Jesus, I would not have deserted him. I would not have betrayed him." Peter never saw the trap. And I tell you this morning, if you and I don't stay on guard, Satan will do the same thing to us. Let's consider what happened to Peter here. Peter's denials of Christ. First, there's the one in verses 15 and 17 where Peter was standing outside the door as Jesus and the other disciple, which was probably John, went into the courtyard of the high priest, and there was a servant girl standing there, and she said, "You're not also one of this man's disciples, are you?" Of course, Peter denied it, and he says, "I am not." And then there was the second time in verse 25. Peter was standing and warming himself by the fire. And one of the men there said, "You're not also one of his disciples, are you?" And Peter said, again, denied Jesus a second time and said, "I am not." Third time was in verse 26 and 27. One of the servants of the high priest had recognized Peter as the one who had cut off his relative's ear. You remember that situation? They were trying to arrest Jesus. Peter drew a sword and cut off the ear of one of the guards. Peter denied Jesus a third time. "I don't know the man." The book of Matthew said that at this point Peter began to curse and to swear that he did not know Jesus. Immediately, just as Jesus had warned, the rooster crowed. Can you imagine the deathly silence after that? Matthew chapter 26 and verse 75 says, "When Peter heard the rooster crow, he immediately remembered what Jesus had warned him about." In the book of Luke chapter 22, verse 61, says, "The Lord at that moment turned and looked at Peter when the rooster crowed, and Peter wept bitterly." Can you imagine that? Peter had just denied Jesus three times. The rooster crowed, as Jesus predicted, and then he looks over and there's Jesus staring at him. It says he wept bitterly. Why did Peter deny that he knew Jesus? This would be one of those things where we would say, "I would never deny Christ. I would never deny Jesus, no matter how hard it gets out in the world today and how much my faith gets tested. I'm not going to deny Jesus." That's probably what Peter said, wasn't it? Why did Peter deny Jesus? Well, there's some clues here. He was, first off, Peter was prideful, for one thing. He was prideful. He ignored Jesus' warnings, and he failed to arm himself against the hour of temptation. You see, we have to prepare ahead of time of how we're going to handle ourselves if we get questioned like Peter was later. We've got to work that out ahead of time. Peter became strong in his own power, and therefore he became weak and vulnerable to sin. In studies that have been done about men who have fallen into immorality in ministry and other areas, it all shows one common thread: their pride. Their pride. They believe that what God was doing through them was a result of their own talent and their own strength. I'm helping God out with my talent. I'm so good because I'm talented. If you think you're okay with God, you're already on your way to failure. 1 Corinthians 10:12 says, "Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall." It's when you think everything's great and you're so good and you're right with God because you've got it going on, we got to watch out, don't we? We got to watch out. It says, "Take heed lest you fall." Proverbs 16:18 says that pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. You're okay with God only through the blood sacrifice of Jesus. If you're saved today, it's by the grace of God. It's not because of something you did or how good you are, or the fact that you came from a good family, or somehow you earned it, or you deserve it. It's only by the grace of God that any of us are saved. Thank God this morning, if you're saved, that He rescued you from your sin. It was all about Him. The Bible says that He pulled us up out of the muck and the mire, the sin, the filthy, nasty condition that we were in, and God pulled us up out of that, placed our feet on the rock. It's the sacrifice of Christ. Amen? It's only by the grace of God that we're saved. Nothing else. Another thing that Peter did is that he failed to pray. Peter went with Jesus and the other disciples, you'll recall, to the Garden of Gethsemane the night before Jesus' crucifixion. When they came to the place, Jesus told them to pray that they might not enter into temptation. Remember that? Do you remember them talking about that? Jesus said, wait here and pray. And then Jesus came back and he found them asleep. Kind of like some people do in church. Sleep. Don't y'all sleep at home? I know what you mean. You get in here all comfortable and get cozy and get sleepy. But here are some men that slept when Jesus told them to stay awake and pray, of all things. Jesus came back, found them sleeping. He said, could you have not watched with me even for 1 hour? Could you just not have stayed awake long enough to pray? He told him again, watch and pray so that you do not enter into temptation. He says, the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. That nailed it, didn't it? We want to do the right thing. We want to do the right thing and pray. We want to do the right thing because Jesus told us to do it. But the flesh is weak. The flesh is something we have to battle about all the time, do we not? We have to battle the flesh. Jesus came back the third time and found them sleeping again. Oh, gosh. Again. A third time. He said to them, why do you sleep? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation. I thought about putting that on the wall in my house so that I would remember. Rise and pray. Rise and pray. Why? Because you're going to be faced with temptation when you leave. Rise and pray. We need that in here somewhere, a banner. Rise and pray. Because when you step out of church and you go back out in the world, you're going to get tempted. Don't we need to rise and pray so that we don't fall into temptation? The fact that Peter was overconfident was evidenced by his lack of prayer. He was strong on his own, or he thought he was. He didn't need to pray. God, I got this. I got this. I don't need to pray. But prayer actually is our declaration of how much we need God. Prayer is our declaration of how much we depend on God. I don't want to go through a day without depending upon God. It's impossible to live the Christian life without prayer. It really is. Because if we try to live the Christian life without prayer, we're cutting ourselves off from the power of God that we need. We're cutting ourselves off. It's really quite an arrogant thing to say that we don't need to pray. We don't need God's power, or we only need God's power when we're in trouble. That's when most people pray, is it not? When they get in trouble. People even that don't really have a relationship with Christ, they want to pray to God when they're in trouble. Why is that? They reach out to God. But Christians need to pray to God on a daily basis so that we're ready when the temptation falls at the doorstep. If your prayer life has gone by the wayside, you can start fresh right now, can't you? Start fresh and new today. Don't let Satan trick you into thinking that you're all right without praying. You and I must have the power of God to help us to live in this dark, confused world. You know, the world is really super confused right now, is it not? People are confused about the issues. Issues that you and I as believers in our minds have gotten straight, perhaps. And then you see other people that are so confused about these issues out there. And I also look out and see Christians who are confused about the issues. This thing of terrorism and ISIS and all of this kinds of stuff. And this one guy, I mean, I hate to repeat what I see on Facebook sometimes because some of it's is not really true. You got to weed that stuff out. You know it's not always true just because it's on Facebook, don't you? They'll even put some celebrity's picture and put some words up there that looks like he said that when he never said that. It just got your attention because it had Clint Eastwood's picture, somebody up there like that. Then go ahead and make my day. Yeah, I'm a good Clint impersonator. But here's the thing. I saw something on there, I think it was yesterday. This guy was talking about how he was a military man. He's talking about, this was a video, so I'm assuming that, yeah, this is what he said. And he's talking about how we should handle terrorism and ISIS and stuff and coming into this country. And he used the words, we need to kill it out. Well, and those are strong words. But the fact of the matter is, we can't sit here and let people overtake the country, can we? Just come in here and overtake us. And it's the same thing with the Christian church. We can't let the world just come in and just run over us and overtake us. Well, how confused the world is. I thought, well, I'll just repost that. You know, click it, just repost it. I said, this man, he kind of got it going on here, it seems like. Strong. But sometimes we need some strong words, don't we? Well, somebody's always commenting. You know, you post something, they'll comment. And this one person commented on that. And she started talking about how we had to love everybody. Had to love everybody. Listen, I'm not saying that all Muslims are bad because of this group is bad. But we can't just love everybody for the sake of love. You've got to draw a line in the sand somewhere. Do you not? Preacher, you're getting political. See, that's another thing. Preacher, you're not supposed to be talking about that stuff in the pulpit. You're supposed to talk about how God is love all the time. Well, God is love, by the way. I believe that with all my heart. If God didn't love us, we wouldn't be sitting here today claiming the name of Christ, would we? God loves us. Praise the Lord, He loves us. But God is not all-encompassing and accepting of people who are in sin and won't repent. He's not going to wrap His arms around evil. He's not going to do it. And that's why we've got to be careful not to let Satan trick us into thinking everything's okay. Everything's going to be okay. Everything's not okay, is it? It's worse as it's ever been. We need to pray and stop letting Satan trick us into thinking everything's okay. As long as we just sit back, everything will be okay. Well, it's not okay. And we need to pray, or we're going to fall into it. That's the lesson here with Peter. Peter, he got outside of the clique here, the disciple clique. He got outside, we might say outside of the church house. And he got out there where it's rough. And suddenly got out there and he doesn't know anything about Jesus. And he starts to deny Jesus. Well, there's a third reason here for Peter's denial. He functioned in the flesh. When we don't pray, we tend to act in the flesh. And let me tell you something. Sometimes I act in the flesh. I mean, sometimes I get on it and want to get on it more. Then I remember I've got to follow God. Peter was a very impulsive person. He did what he felt like doing, whenever he felt like doing it. That night in the garden, the mob approached Jesus to arrest him, and Peter drew his sword and cut off the man's ear. It kind of makes you wonder what a fisherman's doing with a sword, right? Well, what was he doing with the sword that night? Well, some believe that Peter wanted to prove his loyalty to Jesus. Peter acted in the flesh, doing what he thought he needed to do to protect Jesus, as if Jesus needed protection from anybody. God doesn't need our help, does he? But Peter acted in the flesh and he reaped the rewards of it. We engage in prayer often. We declare our dependence on the Lord. And if we do that, we'll act righteously instead of being in the flesh. Pray often, declare our dependence on the Lord. Another reason for Peter's denial. And notice this. He followed Jesus from afar, from a distance. Luke 22:54 says, having arrested Jesus, they led him and brought him into the high priest's house. But Peter followed from a distance. Peter wanted to follow Jesus, but he feared the cost of being associated with Jesus. Oftentimes people want to be saved, but not so saved that it makes a difference in their life that other people might notice. Not so saved that they would give up their sinful ways. Not so saved that someone might notice that they're following Jesus. There's plenty of Christians today that are following Jesus from a distance. They want the benefits of knowing Christ, but they don't want anyone to see them following Christ. So they follow him from a distance. They're afraid that someone might ask them about Jesus. So they follow him from afar. Peter wanted to be associated with Jesus only to a point. So he followed Jesus from a distance. And therefore he opened himself up to Satan's attack. We've got to follow Jesus closely, don't we? We need to be right on his heels, right beside him, close to Jesus, instead of following him from a distance, getting out there and acting like we don't know him. And then notice also Peter, one of his problems, the reason why he denied Jesus, is that he fellowshipped at the wrong place. The night of Peter's denial, he said he warmed himself by the fire and he was standing there by men who were seeking to kill Jesus. And so he was associating with men who obviously didn't know Jesus, people who didn't love Jesus, people who were not saved. Is it all right to have unsaved friends? Well, of course it is, right? How are we ever going to tell people about Jesus if we don't build a relationship with them? But make sure that when you're trying to influence the unsaved for Christ, that it doesn't turn to be the other way around and they're influencing you. Well, I go into the bar and tell somebody about Jesus, and then I wind up cracking a cold beer and having one with them. No, that's the influence going the wrong way, isn't it? Going the wrong way. It's possible when you become a Christian or start following Jesus more closely that the unsaved might take offense at your faith. It seems like today everybody's offended about something, aren't they? And it seems like that you talk about Jesus, everybody seems to get offended. But I think sometimes they're offended at us possibly because deep in their hearts they may long for what you have. And they want that. And so for some reason they try to act like what you have is not real. Or perhaps they'll push you to see if your faith is really real. We associate with the unsaved, but we don't want to let them pull us into worldly ways. I see a lot of people today that I know used to go to church, or perhaps they've got their name on the church roll, but they're out in the world because someone influenced them back into worldly ways. And now they're having a good time out in the world, and they forgot about Jesus. That's tragic. Tragic. Jesus said in Matthew 12:30, "He who is not with me is against me." You see, you're either for Jesus or you're not. You can't go through life straddling the fence. You can't go through life being for Jesus sometimes and other times you're not. Or you're for him if you're with Christian friends, and you're over here if you're somewhere else, some way else. We either are with Christ or we're with the world. There's no middle ground in Christianity. We accept him or we deny him. You have to be today willing, it seems, to swim against the current in a world of ungodliness. There's no such thing, though, in the world. There's no such thing as an undercover Christian. The only undercover Christians that I know of are missionaries on a foreign field that are having to have secret gatherings because of where they're at. We don't even know their names, because if we knew their names, there's a chance that they could get killed. But they're doing the work of the Lord. That's different from being out here and playing like an undercover Christian. I'm a Christian, but I don't want anybody to know about it. I want it to be a secret. And so today, we need to decide that we're going to stay out of the darkness and stay close to Jesus, right? We need to stay close to Jesus more so than ever. When Jesus comes back, will he find us faithful? That's the question, right? Will he find us doing what we ought to be doing? I pray so. All right, let's stand.